Well, welcome to church, everybody. If you're here in the room with us, you can go ahead and grab a seat. If you're joining us online, a big welcome to you as well. And we are wrapping up a series that we've called This Is War. So if you're joining us for the first time, we've been talking about some of the battles we fight in life that we can't see, the stuff, you know, that we can't quite put our finger on, the fights that we experience that don't have like a physical, visible reality to them. And if that's a lot for you to take in, Jesus taught that this was the case, that there is a spiritual war that is going on around us and then many times within us against these kind of invisible things, these things that we can't see, we can't always describe them. And I'm not talking about spooky horror movie stuff, all right? That's not what this is about. But you probably, whatever your background when it comes to church or faith or spirituality, you've probably had a moment in your life when you just felt like, man, I'm fighting something I can't explain. There's a weight coming against me, or there's a force opposing me. And this series has been about how to win those battles. So if you missed the first 3 weeks of the series, if you are joining us for the first time, you can go to our YouTube channel and watch the first three installments. If you are new to our church, it's how we grow here, through taking a few weeks and focusing on one big idea, one big thought, and you can get caught up to speed with those messages. But I do want to give you a brief recap, because I think it's important as we wrap up the series. Week one, we said that winning these spiritual battles starts with a confidence that comes not from within us in our own humanity, but comes from our relationship with God. And it starts when we know that we were created from God, we are connected to God, and we are called by God. That's our confidence to be able to win the battles we fight. And then week two, we tackled temptation, which all of us experience. In fact, raise your hand, just lift your hand if you've experienced temptation over the past week. If you're online, give us a hand raising emoji if you've experienced temptation. If you didn't lift your hand, if you didn't respond, you just experienced temptation to lie and you gave in. So now you can raise it. You're like, oh, no, I've experienced it. So we all face temptation. I do, you do. The most spiritual person you know on the planet faces temptation. It's a human thing. And we saw that the way to win is when we stop and ask for directions. We don't keep trying to figure things out on our own, but we stop and ask for directions. We go to God's word. We go to the Bible, the scriptures, and God gives us the strength to resist temptation. Then week three, last week, Abby, our Next Steps pastor, talked about how to find peace. And even when the fight is going on in our lives, there's a way to live in peace, and it's through prayer, God's people in our lives, and then living out our purpose. That's how we find peace. So as we wrap up the series, we're going to kind of shift gears a little bit. We've been talking about how to be aware of the battles we fight, how to have confidence, how to resist temptation, how to have peace. But now as we come to the final week, we're going to talk about if this is true. And I recognize for some of you today, you might not be sure you buy it yet, not quite convinced that there is a spiritual war going on. But if this is true, if there's an enemy who is working against us, trying to steal our hope and kill our dreams and destroy our lives and families and wreak havoc in our relationships, if that's the case, what would it look like on a daily level to fight back, to not just take it lying down and not even just to be aware that it's happening, but to actually fight back? So that's what we're going to talk about today. When I was a little kid, I used to love to play war. I don't know, anybody else ever play war when you were a kid? This is before you played war, you know, in 4K with a controller. This was like, we actually went out and played war. When I was a little kid, we would ride our bikes down this trail into the woods near where I lived, and we would pull out our arsenals, all these toy guns that we had, and we would spend hours, I mean, shooting invisible bullets at each other, faking elaborate deaths, or arguing, no, you missed me completely, which is a difficult argument to win or lose when the bullets are invisible. But it's like, no, I went right here. You did not hit me. I'm still alive, man. And we would toss invisible hand grenades at each other. You know, we just play war. For hours is what we did. Now, I'm not recommending this. I'm just telling you what we did. And my mom hated it. She just hated the idea of guns and violence. She was always like, do you have to go play with those toy guns? I'm like, yeah, I'm a soldier, Mom. Oh, you know, I'm going off and I'm playing war. And my mom watches me preach every weekend. So our first gathering of the weekend, I apologized publicly for traumatizing my mom when I was a kid. And by the way, my mom thinks my preaching is amazing. She's just a big fan. She's always like, Mark, that was so good, whether it was or not. That's a good mom right there. And I called her last night on my way home, and we talked about this, because It wasn't until years later that I realized while I was out in the woods as a little kid, 7, 8 years old, playing war, my mom had learned to actually go to war every day of her life. You say, well, what are you talking about? She wasn't in the military, but she learned that there was a way to win her spiritual battles. And so every day of her life, my mom would find a spot in our home and she would read the Bible and she would pray before she went to work early, before anyone else was awake in our house. She would read the Bible and she would pray, and that's how she battled. That's what war looked like for her. She prayed for her kids if we needed it, and she prayed for my dad. She prayed for the people in her church. She prayed that God would work in the world and that the devil would be defeated. And when I was a kid, I just thought that was weird. Like some of you might think right now, this is weird, man. How you're going to war, reading the Bible, praying. What does that even mean? But she really believed that there was a way that she could connect with God that would help her win these battles that she couldn't see. And my problem with my theory that this was just weird was that some of my mom's prayers began to be answered. Not the least of those was me at 15 years old putting my faith in Jesus. That was something she prayed for years, and she saw the way I was going and she prayed for me, and God answered that prayer. She told me last night that all of these years later, not that many years, but all these years later, what I'm doing right now with my life and the incredible honor that I get to serve you is an answer to prayers that she prayed, that God would work through my life. She didn't necessarily pray that I would be a pastor, but she prayed that God would do something big in and through my life. And she said, Mark, my prayers are still being answered today. And she still does this every day of her life. So my mom knew this is war. When we start following Jesus and we start living this life, going all in with God, I'm not talking about just like pretending to be Christians, or I'm talking about like when we really go, okay, Jesus, like if I'm going to follow you, that means I'm going to get up and follow you and I'm going to live my life for you. It's war. And in the words that we're going to read today in a little book in the New Testament, my mom found a battle plan. She found a way to fight back. And it reads like this. This is in the book of Ephesians. A final word. So if you read, it's a little book in the New Testament. If you read the first 5.5 chapters, Paul, who wrote this, talks about who we are in Christ and how we can live our lives and the joy we have. In fact, there's a prayer in Ephesians 3 that I pray over you every weekend before I preach, if you want to go and read it this week. But he gets to the end. He says, okay, last thing, so important, can't end without telling you this. You got to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Be strong. So in other words, there's a place that we can get spiritually where we begin to get stronger. And we're going to start a new series in 2 weeks called Mind Games. It's all about our mental health. I'm very excited about this. Been praying and preparing. Our team has been preparing for several months for this. Great opportunity to invite people. And if you're here and you don't buy into the whole spiritual warfare thing, just come back in 2 weeks. We'll talk about mental health, and we're going to talk about some ways that we can get mentally stronger. It's going to be great. It's going to be very practical, life-giving. But this is speaking about something deeper than that. It's speaking about spiritual strength. And certainly, mental health is a spiritual thing, but this is specifically talking about more than mental toughness, more than emotional resilience. This is about an intentional process of getting stronger in our faith. And when we put our faith in Jesus, we are in the Lord. So we have a relationship with God. We don't have to be strong to become followers of Jesus. In fact, just the opposite. It's when I realized how weak I was that I was finally ready to put my faith in Jesus. Can't do this life without God. I need God. But then from there, we start a journey. That's why we named our church this, because we really believe that life with Jesus is a journey. It's not just like a one-time experience, then we kind of forget about it, go back to life as usual. It is a journey. It's a process, and it's a process of getting stronger in our faith. Part of what being involved in a community of faith like this is getting stronger in our faith, taking steps forward spiritually, growing spiritually. And part of getting stronger is when we learn to do this. Put on all of God's armor. Those are fighting words, right? Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. Now, again, if you're new to the whole church thing, you may not buy this yet, spiritual warfare, the devil, all of that, and I'm not here to twist your arm. And I don't, humbly, I don't think I have to. At some point in your life, you'll realize that, there's something going on beyond what you can explain. And for all of us who are followers of Jesus, what we believe is that the devil is a real enemy, not just a symbol, not just a metaphor, but this real spiritual force that's opposing us because It opposes God. And this enemy that we face has very real strategies to distract us, discourage us, confuse us, deceive us, to draw us away from God's best for us, and to keep us from influencing other people in life-giving ways toward God. But God has given us spiritual armor. And if we're wearing the armor that God has given us, we can stand firm in our spiritual battles. Now, we may win all kinds of other kinds of battles in our life, but our spiritual battles, if it's a spiritual battle, we're going to need spiritual armor. We can't fight a spiritual battle using just natural human solutions. And this next verse tells us why, because we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. So there's something else going on here. We're fighting against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. And some of us are going, whoa. I was just hoping tomorrow morning I would be able to find my keys and not spill my coffee all over my shirt. You're telling me that if I'm going to follow Jesus, I'm going to wake up to evil rulers and authorities and mighty powers and against evil spirits in the heavenly. I think I'll stay in bed. You know, like I'm not sure I'm up for that. And I get that that's our reaction. And Paul wrote this, wants us to understand the seriousness of this, that there is this invisible structure working against us and working against all of humanity to disrupt and destroy and divide and just bring brokenness into our world. Have you ever sensed that something was just a little off in a situation and you weren't sure what? I couldn't put your finger on it, but you just knew like something's not quite right about this. There's something going on that maybe I don't understand. A few months ago, Susie, my wife, and I, we refinanced our house. We've lived in the same house for almost 13 years, and interest rates went way down, so we decided let's refinance our house. And if you've been through this process, you know what happens. The finance company sent somebody they had hired to our home to finish the paperwork. And you have to sign 73 pages, and it's this whole thing, and they don't want you to read it, just sign it. Like, no, you don't have to. All that says is that your life is virtually over. You know, you don't have to even read that. It's no big deal. So we had this appointment set up, and the day started great. I mean, so Susie and I, we'd rearrange our schedule. We both needed to be there to sign the documents. And so day started great. Sun was shining. We were up. We'd had breakfast. We're talking with each other. We're just having a great day. And then this guy showed up at our house. I don't know how to describe it, but the atmosphere shifted. Never met this person before in my life. Now, he wasn't very friendly, but it was more than that. There was just something. It was weird. I'm just telling you, it was weird. And I am... You don't know me, but I'm not one of those people. I'm usually the last person to notice. Like, Susie is very in tune. She's like, did you notice? I'm like, no, what? You know? But we sat there, and it's just like the atmosphere in our home just, I mean, I don't even know how to explain it, except that after this guy left, Susie and I started sniping at each other. It just felt weird in our home. And the thought struck me, is it possible that this person just had some doors open in his life to these unseen forces and walked into our home and just brought some of that with him? And I didn't know for sure. If you're saying, well, how do you know? I don't know for sure. But we just decided, hey, just in case, let's take a moment right now and let's just close those doors. And we prayed and said, peace, come back into our home. Jesus is Lord of this home. We're gonna stop sniping at each other, and we're gonna have hope and joy in our home again. Now, here's what I didn't do. I didn't call him up and go, hey, I think you got some evil spirits in your life. If you'll just stop back by, we'll do a little exorcism. It's not a big deal. You just have to sign 73 pages. Don't read it, you know. Didn't do that. Okay? So, and I don't know for sure. Maybe it's a coincidence. But I'm just telling you that as I learned to follow Jesus, I have learned to identify some things that, like, that's not really a spiritual battle. It has a natural explanation. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Some of us are like, the devil is working against me. I was late. No, you have a time management problem. Different thing. Legitimate issue, but the devil's like, I don't need to work against you. You got this. Which is not where we want to live, just so you know. But some of us get caught up in like, and I'm not like that. So I've learned some things are not some big spiritual battle, and it's actually a trap to think they are. But there are other things that we can be completely oblivious to. And the reality is we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, and there are spiritual forces opposing us. And all those spiritual forces care about is whatever will keep us and the people around us from seeing Jesus clearly, Keep us from seeing other people clearly with the eyes of Jesus, and keep us from seeing our purpose clearly. Just want to confuse, divide, and distract. Bring the temperature down. Bring the atmosphere down. Just bring hurt and confusion. That is the work of the enemy, and it's a war to keep us isolated instead of gathered. I'm not trying to be weird, I promise you, but some of you have experienced this. Maybe you've been like, I'm going to go to church this weekend, and I'm going to do this, and then everything kind of falls apart. And like, well, I can't go because this is leaking, and that needs to be taken care of, and someone just texted me, and it seems really fascinating, and you know, and all these things come up. And it's a war to keep us isolated instead of gathered, because we're strong together in the Lord, but we're vulnerable when we're on our own. It's a war to keep us cut off instead of connected, at each other's throats, suspecting each other and being skeptical of each other's motives. It's a war to keep us self-serving instead of others' focus, because the more we stare at our own navels and think about our own problems and don't have a heart to do anything for people who are hurting, the more we fall into the enemy's trap. I'm just telling you, it's a war to keep us greedy instead of generous. It's a war to keep our eyes off Jesus. It's a war. It's just a war. And it's going on in ways that we can't see, in ways that we don't always understand. You say, well, why is that such a problem? Because some of us are in the woods playing with toy guns, and we're missing the real battle. And we're out shooting invisible bullets at things that don't really matter, hurling hand grenades on social media, doing all kinds of things, fighting for things that don't matter, and losing the battle for things that do matter. And we're giving up ground to the enemy in ways that, I'm just telling you, we don't have to give up ground. There is another way, and it's not about some super religious thing, and it's not about being weird. There just is a way to stand strong and to fight back. And here's what it looks like. We suit up, therefore put on every piece of God's armor. It's active. We make a decision. Put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. That phrase, the time of evil, literally means when things are at their worst. If we'll put on the armor of God when things are at their worst, we can resist the enemy, and then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. God has given us everything we need to resist the enemy when things are at their worst, and there's way more good news. The outcome of the war has already been decided. Three people are wildly excited about what Jesus did to give us victory. And I get it, because some of us are going, what do you mean it's already decided? Here's what I mean. Jesus came to save us and to give us real relationship with God, to give us a rich and satisfying life. That's why he came. And he died on a cross. He laid down his life so that our sins could be forgiven. We could be in right relationship with God. And then he faced the nuclear bomb of the enemy, which was death. That was the devil's last weapon was, if I can't do anything else, I can kill. I can rob people of life. Death is mine. And Jesus said, well, not anymore, it isn't, because he rose from the dead. Good news is, Jesus has already won the war, and if we're with Jesus, we win. So the outcome of the war is already decided. But why do some of us have a hard time getting excited about that? Because we're going, if the war is already decided, why am I still fighting these battles? And here's the answer. It happens all the time throughout history where the outcome of the overall war has been decided, but there are pockets of the enemy still fighting battles to win whatever they can. And if we're not aware that the battles are still being fought, we will lose some costly battles even on our way to an ultimate victory. And we don't have to. Come on, I'm telling somebody, we don't have to lose our families on the way. We don't have to lose our peace on the way. We don't have to lose God's promises to us on the way. We can win the battles, and here's what it looks like. Stand your ground. Don't lay down and let the enemy just walk all over you and walk all over your emotions and walk all over your family and walk all over your dreams. No, stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness, which means righteousness is rightness with God. And notice that we don't put on our own rightness with God. We put on the rightness with God that has been given to us through Jesus. So we put that on. It's body armor. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet. take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Them are fighting words, everybody. Like, suit up, let's go. Don't be passive, don't lie down, don't fight battles that don't matter. Don't fight with your words against people. Don't fight with your posts against people. Don't fight by getting entrenched in your opinions about what's going on in this world. No, put on your spiritual armor and go to battle against forces that are opposing what God desires to happen in our world. Stand your ground. Now, what's fascinating about this is Paul, when he wrote this, if you're new to the Bible, Paul wrote a bunch of letters in the New Testament. This is one of them. And when he wrote this, he was most likely in prison. He spent a lot of his later life in prison for his faith in Jesus. And it's very possible he was looking out through his cell and saw a Roman soldier standing guard outside wearing all this armor. And so he uses it in this moment as a spiritual connection and application. So we're going to break it down. Here's how we fight back. I want to give you three things today. If you're taking notes, jot these down. The first one is we fight back through a daily devotion. We fight back through daily devotion. This is what my mom discovered, still practices every day of her life. She passed it on to me. I'm passing it on to you. That every day of our life, we have a time on our calendar and a place we go where we spend time with God. We call it practicing a slot and spot here. What does that mean? There's a slot on my calendar that gets protected. Nothing else happens there. It's devoted to God. And there's a spot that I go where I can be with God. I read the Bible, I pray, I worship. When we're in that place with God, we connect with God, and we also put on God's armor. And I want to show you how to do that today. So we first of all, I like to start with the body armor of God's righteousness. And this is body armor from a costume store, so it's a little bit flimsy, but God's armor is much stronger, just so you know. And this is the body armor of God's righteousness. Why is that important? Because our hearts need God's presence in order to function properly. I'm not talking about our physical hearts. I'm talking about our spiritual hearts. And the reality is, did you know that if your heart doesn't have the protection of God's presence, it can take you some places you don't want to go? Some people say, well, I'm just going to follow my heart. Do you know you can follow it right off a cliff? Your heart will be like, come on, she looks good. Let's go. And then when you're lying at the bottom of the cliff, your heart will be like, I don't know what to do now. I just was like, let's go. So aren't you glad you came to church this weekend? So we put on the body armor of God's righteousness. What does that mean? Every day I ask God, God, would you search my heart? And anything you find there that doesn't please you, anything that I'm keeping in my heart, could be resentment, a bad attitude, something I haven't submitted to Jesus. Anything you find there, God, Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my heart. So forgive anything in there. Every day, pray this. Forgive anything in there that would keep me from you. And then, God, protect my heart today. When people try to get control of my heart, God, I give you control of my heart. When my heart is like telling me to do stuff that just is not your best, God, you are Lord of my heart. And then I'm going to put on the helmet of salvation. And that protects my mind. I'm not going to actually put this on because I don't want to mess up my hair, just being honest. But you get the idea. And Paul says this is part of the armor of God. We put on the helmet of salvation. Why is that important? Because the helmet is protecting our mind. So I invite God into my heart. God, search my heart and cleanse my heart. I want to do this every day of my life. God, search my heart and then protect my heart today. And then we put on the helmet of salvation. You can do this daily in your time with God. It can just take a few minutes of your time to say, I am putting the helmet of salvation on. God, I want to think your thoughts. And God, I bring every thinking pattern in my mind under the authority of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to allow broken thoughts to persist. When the enemy tries to plant thoughts in my mind, I'm going to have the helmet of salvation on my thoughts. I'm not just going to be like saved in my soul. I'm going to start thinking like a follower of Jesus. I'm going to start thinking your thoughts. Every day, I practice this daily devotion, put on the body armor of God's righteousness, put on the helmet of salvation. God, search my heart, protect my heart. God, cleanse my mind and guide my thoughts. It's a daily devotion. It's how we fight back. It's how we fight back. It's a daily devotion. I'm challenging you to do this every day, daily devotion. I'm going to start my day with God. Here's number two. We don't stop there. We move on now to daily discernment. So what does that mean? It means that throughout the day, I started the day with God, but throughout the day, I'm going to ask God for his direction. I'm not going to leave God in my slot and spot. And by the way, for a long time, I kind of did this. It's kind of like, all right, spend time with God, check. See ya, God. I'm going to go live my life. I mean, if something really disastrous happens, we'll talk. But otherwise, we did our thing, right? You good? I'm good. See ya. Have a great day. I'm sure you got stuff to do. I do. And I would leave. Come on, is this resonating with anybody? I would leave God there. But then I begin to learn as a follower of Jesus, wait, God wants to be involved in every part of my day. Starting the day with God was just a jumping off place. Now, when I have a decision to make, I'm asking God to be a part of that decision. So what do? I put on the belt of truth. This is what it means to have a daily discernment. I put on the belt of truth. I want to get to the truth of things, and it starts with the truth about me. So I start to get honest about my motives. I start to get honest with myself, honest with God, and this is important, honest with a few other people in my life, because there's power in that, because truth is a belt that holds everything together. Now, this doesn't look like an ordinary belt. This is a Roman soldier's belt. I don't have a lot of confidence in this one, but a Roman soldier would wear a belt like this, and it had a place where you could put your dagger, and it held all of the other armor in place. So I want to live my life in a way that truth is holding me together. What does that mean? I stop deluding myself, hiding from God, and keeping secrets from others. And I start to get healthy, but there's a strength in that. We're only as sick as our secrets. You don't have to tell everybody what you're struggling with, but you're in trouble if you're telling nobody. There's got to be someone in our life. That's why we do life in groups here. I have a few people in my life, yeah, it's powerful, that I get connected with, and then I can be honest with them. I don't tell everybody. I don't get up here on a weekend and tell you every temptation and every struggle I have. It wouldn't help you. But I do have some people in my life who know everything. They know if I'm going to struggle, here's where I'm going to struggle. I'm honest with them. I did this a little over a week ago. I was struggling with something, and I picked up what one of my friends calls the 10,000-pound phone. And it was like, text, can you take a call? Yes, great, call. And I was in my garage going, here's what I'm struggling with. Here's what I'm fighting with. I need you to pray with me right now. And my friend prayed over me, and I walked away with the victory because the belt of truth holds my life together. I'm going to get honest. Don't let shame will keep you lying. Don't let shame keep you from being honest with yourself, honest with God, honest with a few other people. Pick up the phone, go to God in prayer, get honest, because the belt of truth holds everything together. And then from there, we take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So everything else is a prop. This is a real sword. At least as real a sword as you can buy at the Newcastle Farmers Market. So but Paul says that the sword of the Spirit is part of the armor, and it's the word of God. What does that mean? It means that as I follow Jesus, part of getting strong in my faith is I stop using my opinions and preferences to determine what's right and what's wrong. And I begin to submit my opinions and preferences to God's opinions and preferences, and then I'm able to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and I can use it. It's sharp and it's powerful, so I cut away the lies and I begin to make decisions with discernment. What does the word of God say about my marriage? What does the word of God say about this business decision? What does the word of God say about this ethical shortcut I'm being tempted to take right now? What does the word of God say about my compassion for people in need? What does the word, and I use the word of God as the sword of the Spirit, and it cuts away the lies and it gets me to the truth. And you can put this armor on every day, and you can walk in the power of God. It's a daily discernment. Truth, being honest with God, being honest with others, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then here's the last one. Number three, it's a daily determination. Now stay with me on this, because this is really important. This is where we go on the offense. So I started my day with daily devotion. I got the body armor of God's righteousness protecting my heart. I've got the helmet of salvation protecting my mind. God's cleansing my heart. God's guiding my thoughts. I've put on daily discernment, the belt of truth. I'm getting honest. And doesn't that just, there's freedom in that. I'm getting honest with myself, getting honest with God, getting honest with a few other people. And then I'm picking up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I'm like, God, I don't have an opinion about this. Your opinion is my opinion. So guide me, and I'm standing strong in the Lord. And then from here, I begin to walk in this daily determination. I love this. Paul says, we put on the shoes of the good news about Jesus. and we are prepared to take Jesus with us now everywhere we go. A Roman soldier would wear these sandals. They had a thicker sole than this. They were heavy leather sandals. They were designed so that soldier could march for miles without getting fatigued and worn out, could be on the offensive, go on the advance, and make progress. And I'm telling you that we are called by God not just to pray and not just to make good decisions for ourselves. We are called to start taking Jesus everywhere with us. It's part of how we fight back against the enemy. I'm going to challenge you right now. You don't win a war by posting your opinion. You win a war by sharing your faith in Jesus with people and by sharing the life-giving good news about Jesus. And so we put the shoes of the good news of Jesus on our feet, and everywhere we go, I'm taking Jesus with me now. I'm not leaving him in my slot and spot. No, that was a jumping off place. I'm not leaving him just in my own decisions. No, he goes to the classroom with me. He goes to the meetings with me. He goes through my neighborhood with me. He goes to every environment with me. I take Jesus with me. I'm going to invest in the lives of people who don't know Jesus. I'm going to invite them to experience God. I put these shoes on and I lead a J group, help other people get connected. I put these shoes on and I serve because it's active. I'm following Jesus. I'm taking Jesus with me. It's how we stand strong. And then finally, Paul says that we hold up the shield of faith. Now this shield is too small, but it's all we could get. You need bigger faith than this, just so you know. But you can start here. And we hold up the shield of faith. What does that mean? It means that now everything I do through the lens of my faith in God. I believe in God. I will not be intimidated. I will not be ashamed. I will not be dismayed by the battle. Why? Because I believe in God. My faith is strong. I'm going to live by faith. I'm going to serve by faith. I'm going to believe by faith. I'm going to give by faith. I'm going to love by faith. I'm going to keep going by faith. I'm not going to throw in the towel by faith. It's the armor of God. It's a daily determination. And it's how we fight back. And it's how we stand strong. So what I'm telling you today is you have everything you need to win the battle you're in right now, the battle that you're going to face tomorrow or next week or this fall. You've just got to put it on. It's the armor of God, and it's how we fight back. So as we wrap up the series, here's what I want to challenge you to do this week. So important. I want to encourage you to make 3 decisions daily to put on the armor of God. The first one is daily devotion. So I'm challenging you right now, wherever you are in your spiritual journey, every day this week, to spend time with God, to practice a slot and spot. Start your day reaching for God. Secondly, I want to encourage you every day to invite God into your day and into your decisions. So practice daily discernment. Not only do you start every day reaching for God, but you spend every day relying on God. That's what it means to stand strong. And then third, finally, I want to invite you to make a daily determination. I love this one because this is where you decide. I'm going to start my day reaching for God, spend my day relying on God, and do something every day to reveal God to someone else. It's a daily determination. I'm going to stand strong, and I'm going to win the battle. This is what my mom figured out, how to fight her battles. This is what she passed on to me. And if you'll let me, this is what I'm passing on to you, that this is how we win. This is how we stand strong. And if you would say, as we wrap up the series, man, this week, I don't understand it all, maybe. I haven't figured it all out, and I'm aware that, man, I've got some gaps and some weaknesses, but this week, and I'm going to stand in that, whatever my environment, I'm going to put on the armor of God, daily devotion, daily discernment, daily determination. Will you just shoot your hand up and hold it up high? I want to pray over you. If you're online right now, would you let us know? I'm in. I want to be a part of this. Let me pray over you. Father, I come to you in faith right now in the name of Jesus. And I ask you to strengthen your people. I ask you to strengthen the people who are fighting a difficult battle. Some people in the room, watching online, this isn't just theory for them. They're fighting something right now. They're struggling through something and they need you. Help them put on the armor of God this week and show up in a big way, we pray. I pray that you'll give us victory in our battles in Jesus' name as we put on the armor of God. Amen. Amen. I want to take just a moment more and speak to any of you that are here or watching online, that this message has maybe pulled back the curtain a little bit on some battles that you're fighting, that you're coming to the realization you can't win without God. And maybe you don't yet have a real relationship with God, and you wonder what that could look like. Can I tell you that when you put your faith in Jesus, when you decide, I'm going to let go of the life I've been living without God, and I'm going to look to Jesus, and I'm going to trust Him to be leader and Lord of my life, then you begin to get the strength that you need to fight your battles. It doesn't mean everything in your life is going to go smoothly. It means that now you won't be fighting alone. And if you want to take that step today to go all in with Jesus, I want to lead you in a very simple prayer. This can be your day to make that decision. So right where you are, if that's you, whisper out a prayer of faith, something like this. Jesus, today, I give my life to you. I believe in you. I believe that you died to forgive my sins. I believe that you rose again, and you are leader and Lord of my life. From this moment forward, I'm going to follow you. And if that's you, while everyone around you stays focused on God, if you would say, I want to be included in that prayer, I'm deciding to follow Jesus today. Will you lift your hand? Just hold it up high, boldly. My faith is in Jesus today. Yes, yes. Trusting Him with my life. If you're watching online, type the word faith in the comments, whatever platform you're on. Let us know you're taking this step. And then everybody, will you help me? Let's celebrate that together. Lives being changed by Jesus.